This is Listener's Guide, a series from Big Secret Records. Each season leads you deep into how the label's releases were made with the artists who made them. I'm Andrew Jones, the owner and operator of Big Secret Records, talking to you from the label's home base in Portland, Oregon. You're listening to how Good American Songbook by Bob Cummins Jr. was made. And since we're on side B of the album now, I thought I'd switch it up with another sketch of Bob's for the intro music. So you're not hearing things. I'm just switching it up on you. This episode is about the song In Tow, which kicks off side B of the LP, which is for sale right now. You can get it on Bandcamp. You can get it on the BigSecretRecords.com site that is found on the internet. I'll put on another episode where you can learn how to get online safely with parental permission, how to navigate the World Wide Web. I'll have to send you a CD-ROM to get started with it, but we'll get to it on a later episode. In this episode, though, we're going to be talking about In Tow, which includes discussions on the acceptable Monty Python bits, coconuts, the tragic death of Bob Wills, and how Bob and I were corresponding with Van Dyke Parks without even realizing it. Enjoy!
I want to talk about the construction of that slide part, because like it like checks the box of like moving with the progression, but like fuck, it's so good, like it's so catchy.
What were your inspirations for that part?
Yeah, that was so surprising. SpongeBob.
Where do you get your ideas from?
Well, that's another one that I heard a lot of humor in the same way that I heard some humor in Magic Arm, and I was trying to kind of get that humor through with the instrument. I also felt humor in Tow, but it also felt like really, I think you had sent it to me with you guys did like a coconut kind of thing. Like it reminded me of Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and they had like the coconuts doing the horse clopping.
Yeah, directly inspired by by Python.
You,
yeah.
Don't you dislike that movie?
Not to go. I don't like that movie very much. That bit's pretty funny. I do like the part. There's the killer bunny.
Yeah.
Is that
the holy hand grenade?
Yeah, the holy hand grenade of Antioch. Yeah. That's a pretty good one. Yeah. But I mean, it's fine.
I heard a lot of humor in that like clopping sound, and it. I think you opened the first lyric is about the trail. Is it not?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All that feels good on the trail.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was like a country thing for sure, like just an implication.
Yeah. Texture, like I didn't want it to be a country song, but like strictly a country and western song, if that makes sense.
No, I totally picked up on it. Well, you didn't even give me direction. Not to sound like a prick, but like
well, no, okay. I'll make a comeback. I did give you some direction. But I told you to just like play some chords or some swells or something.
Yeah.
And we were
disregarded.
Yeah, it was was it the last part that we recorded?
What direction? I don't know. Play some chords.
Well, you know, just like a no. No, just to give it that flavor.
Yeah.
Because we had a like a synth clarinet part going over that. Was that the last part recorded for the album? Because we were mixing it whenever you sent that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we had just bounced it. Or we had just closed out the
it was like
the window,
that day, the same
and
day.
Like 5 minutes later, you sent the part, and I was like, "Andy, we gotta open it back up."
Yeah, it's like, oh fuck,
we gotta lay down this heat.
But, and I didn't know what to expect. I was just kind of thinking it was gonna be like, you know, big verbed out like lap
steel
kind of swells.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting too.
And then when he started playing it, I was just like, okay, it's worth it to add this because it totally transformed the second verse, and it was so, it was so fucking perfect. Like it played against the cadence of the vocal and it was catchy on its own, but it wasn't stepping all over the melody.
Right.
It was like dancing around everything happening in the verse, like so well. That was,
it felt like a little, like elf. or gnome.
Yeah, a little imp.
The song and was like, yeah, like an imp.
Yeah,
like a. It felt like that the green gazoo from
from the Flintstones.
From the Flintstones. Yeah, like a little guy that had just showed up.
This is the one that you told me if you were like a tiny bit concerned if someone heard this song only of Bob's, they would paint it. It would maybe paint their version of what your stuff is very differently.
Yeah, like
hopefully I'm not throwing you under the bus when I say that.
No, because this is like
this is the first time I think Van Dyke Parks came up in any of our discussions was this song,
and is so plain to me. Like this is a bright shade of Bob, but it's not the only Bob. Like to me, like Onalu or Magic Arm 2 like illustrates like all of the different shades of Bob, and this is one of them. But this is like a stark, like singular or like two colors of Bob,
right?
So yeah, like if you heard this and you'd be like, oh, he's all about song cycle. But like,
right.
You know, there's so many other elements to you that all the other songs and like Gold Chain, like that's this like jangle pop, almost power pop thing that is also very you. But this one is like pretty specific with like the piano part and sound, because we recorded that on a stand up versus the grand. Yeah, like this is a legit, like this is authentically this sound, like
right.
You're not kidding around.
Yeah, you're not making fun of it.
Yeah,
right.
This is like a serious composition.
Right. I do think I obviously wasn't making a joke of it.
Yeah.
But there is a to use the word jaunt. There is a bit of jauntiness to it. That
yeah, there is like kind of like a smile throughout it.
That's yeah, like, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
I love that song. I agree. I know exactly what you guys are saying about how it's. It's serious, but it has a smile to it. I think it's a beautiful track. It's actually one of my favorites on the record. So it was when Bob told me he wanted Lap Steel on it, I was just really excited. I was listening to a lot of Ernest Tubb at the time, and he has like humorous kind of like his pedal steel player, who I don't know the name of, just a lot of like all that old country stuff, like 40s, 50s country. It can be so it can be so like down and out lyrically, and so like. Like makes you want to get up and shake your booty kind of thing, you know. So like,
yeah, all that old Hank Williams stuff is just him like talking about drinking himself to death, but the music sounds like a hoedown, you know.
That part makes me think of like Bob Willis's like trademark hoots.
Ah!
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Merle Haggard killed Bob Wills, right?
No,
he did. Well, like he hadn't played music in like. 20 years, and Merle Haggard was like, you're one of the best, Bob, let's get you back in the studio. And so they tracked for one day, and he died of a heart attack.
That's how I'm gonna open this episode up.
I don't even know what he was doing in the sessions though, because all I ever hear from Bob Wills on the records is just him going, ah!
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Just like, I guess that was enough of a thrill for him.
Yeah, it's like maybe he was pushing him to make those sounds again, and he's like, I'm too old, but I'm gonna do it anyway, and he did it.
And
like, yeah,
and I guess he plays the fiddle too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he was first fiddle.
So Jasper was talking about the coconuts.
Yeah, coconuts came last for that one. I think we recorded the piano part first, right? Like when we had some free time, we just recorded that little.
Yeah, just the.
The whatever.
Yeah.
The plinky part. And then we got Abram the next day.
Maybe the same day, but yeah, we had some time to just do the piano.
Yeah.
And then he came in. I remember that day working really like clockwork, because we had to get Brothers in do his two songs, or right. His three or whatever. And then he had to leave, and Jasper had to leave. Because was he there? Jasper?
Yeah, he was there for Onalu.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brothers did his drum part after we recorded the basic track for that.
Because Jasper
then
had
to stuck around and did the drums for In Tow. And then Abram came in.
Yeah, and then it was you, me, and Abram. Night, yeah.
And he laid down the upright bass.
Like two
and
takes.
And I had maybe two measures for him to do that were like very specific. Like mm-hmm. I think the outro I wanted him to do a specific way.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, he's a UNT guy. He knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, do a walking bass line. And he did it.
Yeah.
It sounded so good.
And then, yeah, we did that big, thick fuzz bass at the end.
Right. And I also never met him, so I think part of me was like, I don't want to be like... Because, I mean, you're a better player than me. Like, why should I tell you what to play?
Mm-hmm.
But once we really got into it after that first take, I was like, okay, I want you to do, like, a little riff here, do a little thing here. And
yeah. And he
was super
totally
nice
got
and cordial.
It.
And, yeah, it was a great time. And then he played one note in making the cut.
Yeah, he did
he
that little bow.
He bowed a note on the double bass.
Yeah.
There was a day after we did the initial track that I was on where Bob, or I was in Dallas working, and I texted Bob and was like, hey, what are you doing? I have a 4-hour break. You want to grab some coffee or something? And he said, yeah, I just have to go to the studio and I got to go buy a coconut.
Oh, yeah.
And that was all you said. And I sat for a minute and thought, and I was like, I bet he's doing horse sounds. And I responded, horse sounds? And you said, you got it.
Yeah, I went to the store in the morning, got coconuts. Then I made coconut milk. And then we went, I spent like an hour making coconut milk. And it was very good. It was very creamy. And then we went to get coffee. Then I went to Andy's place.
And then we used the coconut. And not, this is how the whole recording went. Nothing went to waste.
Yeah.
We used everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a zero waste recording
project. So it was after we added Jasper's part, his lap steel part, that we were like, we should just go all in on the beginning and make it like a desert, like.
Right. Yeah. We did wind sounds with the noise on the grandmother.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. So that's what that.
Yeah, which is, like, to me, make it that makes so much sense, because it's like kind of theatrical and a little funny, but you know, we did it using another Moog thing,
like, yeah,
that all fit really, really nicely.
I remember when we were doing the vocals for this one, I didn't love how my vocals sat in the mix, and I wanted to ask Van Dyke to do it.
Oh.
Do you remember when I emailed him?
Uh-huh.
I was like, hey, what would you think about doing a vocal on this song? He didn't respond.
That's funny. I forgot about that when I was emailing him. At that point, I had emailed him and asked him to do something that he doesn't do, and he replied. But I gave him some context. Like, I gave him your name and describe the project. So maybe he recognized it. I wonder.
I emailed his agent, and the agent didn't email me back. So maybe it's just... I don't know, he probably never saw that email.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah.
Well, fuck, I wish you would have emailed him directly. I mean, I'm sure it would have been an insane amount of money.
Oh, I'm sure.
But it still would have been cool to be like, maybe we can figure it out, you know?
Exactly. Maybe he'll like it.
I'm dropping in just to give a little more... detail on what I was talking to VDP about. That's what I call him. That's what we call him here in the industry, Van Dyke Parks. I was emailing him to see if he would be interested in reviewing Bob's record once it was done. We didn't have it anywhere near done at that point, but I was like, hey, maybe he'll do it, and we could have a cool blurb on the front of the record that people will be like, okay, I'm going to check this out. You know, sight unseen, note unheard. And he replied very promptly and very politely, Dear Andy, best wishes on your work. I don't do record reviews, but if you ever get budgets for outside arrangements, I'm all ears. Van Dyke. Consummate pro, consummate businessman. I replied back saying, thank you. You didn't have to reply back to me. That was very kind of you, just so we can respect you in the future when we reach out, because I'm sure we will for other projects. There was this brief moment where we were talking about doing some Shakewell songs, like a little EP rearranged with Van Dyke Parks. And his budget far exceeded our annual operating cost. But it was cool to talk to him. And now back to the conversation.
Yeah, that's a very Van Dyke Park song, with like the timbre of the piano and just kind of like the progression.
The saloon. And,
yeah, the sort of like
salooniness.
Like this hand, you know, doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
This kind of twinkly thing. Yeah, and then when we got to the vocal mixing, there was like some shadows of Shakewell.
Yeah.
But that was actually really complicated because of the way that the chords moved.
Yeah,
we used some Eventide stuff, and you know the harmonizing presets that we were using were like set to certain intervals already.
Right, there was like 1-4-6, 1-3-5,
yeah,
1-5-1.
So there's some real hot music theory going on.
No, yeah,
to make it work, and we ended up doing 4 tracks of different intervals and then like cutting them in and out to like match the chords.
Tell me I'm good to go
and that went so fucking fast, and I was just like, this is breaking my brain, so I can't believe that we're moving this quickly. Yeah, but that was amazing. And but then we did like the real tasteful thing and we mixed them very low.
Yes.
But
yeah, it would have been really odd if they were mixed high. Like that would have broken my brain.
Yeah. But it was funny that we did so much work and thought, and that there had to be so much pre-work behind that. It's like you had to study so much to know how to make that work, and it was, we just fucking buried them. Anything else? We're in tone?
No, I mean, not really.
Well, there you have it. That's the full, disclosed, authorized story of In Tow from the people who were there. Subscribe to the podcast to learn more about the rest of Good American Songbook, track by track. Visit BigSecretRecords.com or find the label on Instagram and TikTok to learn more about what's next from the Big Secret Records Galaxy of Stars. Thank you for listening.